Glory be to the name of Jesus. Okay, so you remember. Now, I just went for a training. Just came out of it a few weeks ago. I don't even know if it's up to 2 weeks. One of the beautiful things I learned in that place is that any area of life that has to do with government, that has to do with the business world, the white man has done research over the years and they have developed systems. All you need to do is take it, plug it in, plug in your own input, they'll deliver the result for you. You don't need to fight to invent any new thing. If it is finance you want to manage, if it is organization you want to run, if it is a business you want to recognize, if it is any area, they have developed templates for every aspect of leadership and governance. I have been doing consulting without actually going for proper training in consulting. For the first time in my life, I saw all the tools for consulting, whether it's for government. No matter what it is, a man in authority tells you that it's his problem. You can give him solution like Joseph. It's not just to pray for him. You can interpret his dreams. There are tools, templates. So when you want to, for example, make your marriage work, you don't need to be struggling up and down. You need to find out, because it's not a new thing. It's just template. This is what you plug in here. This is what you plug in here. This is what you plug in here. It doesn't matter who the man is. If you like be married to Gaddafi, you will behave. To make, raise children, there is a template. All the research. God is not a new person on the scene. He's been dealing with humanity for 6,000 years now. The Bible is not a book they just launched in 2019. Is the wisdom of the ages that has been tested over time, compressed for us. If we just know how to bring out these keys, and then how to apply them. Take, for example, changing a human being. Which is the toughest job in ministry? Personal transformation. Can I get 2 bottles of water? Let me add to the one on my table. Okay. I have 2 there. So let's get me 1. Okay. Don't worry, I can get 1 for myself here. So look at personal transformation. He said, a 3-step process. Look at it. No, remove that one. It's not stable. So now, anything that is not working, remove it. Put it aside. Don't keep doing the same thing and be fooling yourself. That's why many people are not making progress. Remove it. And there are 2 reasons why it's not working. One is that what you're applying is faulty. The knowledge is faulty. You have not understood what they're talking to you about. Yes, first, it might be from the knowledge angle. The knowledge itself might be right, or the knowledge you are using is wrong. And then if the knowledge is right, it's possible that you have not learned the application, how to put it to work. That's why there's a big gap between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is where the men differentiates from the boys. That's why when we finish now, there will be people who will preach some of these things, and yet they don't know it, and they're preaching it to others. And there are some things you're preaching, yet you don't know it. Every one of you don't know the authority of the believer, even though you can preach it. Because show me your results. If Reverend Dubus preaches it, I'll listen. He has raised... A family carried a dead person to service. Was it a Sunday service? Tuesday service. He carried a dead person to service where he was. And that day, there are tools that can solve the problem. One of them is authority of the believer. It's when such things come, we know whether you have the revelation or you are just a talker. And they carried, the person they carried, a family, to Tuesday service, got up and went home with his, I think it was a girl. It was a lady. She went home with her feet. That's a person. Paul said, show me your faith without your works. Let me show you my own by my works. You don't know anything until you can produce a result. You don't know it. You don't. Oga engineer, you understand the kind of training like I'm giving you. You have met pastors before you met me. I'm not like one of them. Because if I do, this is where you will stop. So like all this, I'm zeroing in on you. There is something we are working on. Because beyond that, one of the greatest is a Daniel. It's a Daniel. It's a Joseph. The ability to produce the results. So that's what exists between here and here. So here is knowledge. Here is results. The result is transformation. Actually, we say transformation, but the result actually is the change in behavior. The man is executed. So they've done all this planning. I'm just showing you an example of a template. You see, here is knowledge, that's what he imputes. But here is practice. That's how you know the man changed. Then in between them is the process. You've taught somebody, does not mean he knows what you're talking about. You came here now, you heard this. How many programs have you been in this year? Doesn't mean you know anything. That's why there are some people, when they shock you, when they behave like Satan, and they have been in church, you wonder. I know that transformation has taken place because at the stage, the level 3, I can see results. I can see the man practicing what he has learned. It is the doers of the word that have the result, the blessing, not the hearers of it. The truth is, we can shut down priesthood summit now after this morning session. What you've collected is enough to go home for the next 1 year. Because if you succeed in digesting those things and know, okay, I'll come to it. So in between hearing or knowledge and practice is attitude. Change of attitude, change of mindset. They call it the process of renewal of mind. Hearing a message doesn't mean your mind has been renewed. That thing can go in one ear and live through the other ear. As a matter of fact, scripture, when he addressed the subject of personal transformation, said hearing and not understand. Please put it up. Is it on Matthew chapter 13? Go to the verse that said that. He says, seeing and not perceiving anything. People can go through level 1 and not get anything. Of course, like today, we had to do a little of the process in between when I told you to break out. Because what brainstorming does is to fast track digestion. There are about 7 processes, things you do at the middle stage to convert knowledge to wisdom, to convert knowledge to practice. So if you are able to have small groups where you can discuss, brainstorm, and look at it, that's one of those processes. You are getting closer to the destination. Because the wilderness is where people that left Egypt always die. You know, there is 3 stages. Egypt, promised land. This is where you live. This is where you're supposed to end. But out of 3 million that left, it was only 2 people that got into the promised land. The rest of 2.something million died in the wilderness. And then God raised a new generation from the wilderness and processed them, and they got to the promised land. But there were 2 people that got in. I want to be part of those 2. That's me. I'm not the wilderness generation. My children may be, depending. Maybe your children will be, I'm not sure. But I started my journey here. I had to deal with foundation. I had to deal with sin. I had to deal with idolatry. My family lineage. I'm not a second generation or third generation of preachers. I'm the one pioneering this whole thing for my village. I'm the one pioneering it for my family. Maybe there is somebody here. Your dad has been a pastor. And your dad can be a pastor. And you are still first generation. But if he had done all the work and broke down all the demons, broke down all the poverty, broke down all the Egyptians, he discipled you guys, well, you have a privilege of starting here. He can even try to do his work, and out of your own rebellion, you still go to Egypt and practice all the sins of Egypt. You have to start from deliverance. So you got that Christian dad that will have saved you half of the problem, but you didn't benefit. So you start where your dad started, because you committed all the, and collected your own demons, and now you need to. So I'm not only 2 out of that initial group got in here, the promised land. So we know that transformation took place if we see you in the promised land. If we see you in the land of practice, in the land where you are taking possession, if we see you there. We're praying and trusting God out of this priesthood project. If he is 120 men, I'm trusting him to go beyond that. So the vision he gave us is thousands and thousands and thousands. But we're talking about pioneer group first, who are going to take this thing everywhere, and out their testimonies, their results will now make it easy. This Joshua and Caleb will make it easy for the next batch. So we're trusting God, at least 120 from the church, 120 from the marketplace. 120 professionals. So if you go back now to do your own studies, to pray, these are processes of in between. To study this thing again. Study it. Research. Go through the scriptures. Go through it. Not just once. If you go back now to meditate on it. These are processes. I'm listing a couple of them. Meditate on these things. If you go back and pray these things in. If you can find a small group and start teaching them these things. Because once you start teaching other people, you start digesting. Now, there are 2 ways to teach. Is that one where Paul told Timothy to take it to your messages. By so doing, you save yourself and those that hear you. There is a way a teacher teaches that changes the teacher as well as the student. There's a way you teach, you get lost, you get further away from the truth. Because what happens is that you move into the attitude of pride, thinking you know anything. Meanwhile, you don't. And so it stops your own growth. Meanwhile, you are preaching and you are teaching others and you are no more growing. It is that man that teaches from the position of meekness. Let me give you an example. Galatians said, if anyone sees his brother, commit sin or go into any of this error. He said, restore such a one with what? The attitude of meekness. That's why what happens in the middle is attitude, the change of attitude. The change of mindset. The change of values. One of the things that happen in that middle is the cultivation, the unlearning of old habits and the learning of new habits. That's why there is a need for practice and practice. Not just learning, you're going to review it and review it and review. Things are breaking down while you're doing that. And then you're going to practice it and practice it and practice it. I can see Reverend Dubois when it comes to healing. I know when we're grooming him. I know when he was being mesmerized while I'm doing the healing services. I know when he's at the stage of fascination. And he's hearing the messages. And there were a lot of people like you hearing it, power services, all those days in UNM. I know what his life used to look like. He used to drive bus to be able to pay his school fees. But somewhere he broke beyond that initial stage of fascination and information and knowledge and got into here where processes has to happen. And there are practices, the practicing, and sometimes you don't get the result. Sometimes, oh, that's part of it now. You don't get discouraged that you don't. No, this place is the lab. That's what wilderness is. If you're already a master, why are we keeping you here? For this place is where you gain the mastery, and it's practice, it's learning. And part of what happens here is unlearning old habits, old ways of doing things. Some of you will finish, you hear all the same. When you go, you shake it off and go back to your old cocoon of doing things and keep doing the same old thing that has not helped you. See how your head is. And you sit in a ministry like Domino City. Somebody else from Redeem, if he was given this opportunity, will be shaking nations, shaking cities. And see how your head is. When you go back to how you used to be. And as if the city imposes dominion on your head. And you accept it. And what grows a church is the growth of the pastor and the growth of the leadership. No church grows beyond the level of growth of his leaders. A growing pastor has a growing church. Things are stagnating. Leave the people, look at yourself and look at your team. Now, I know when he was at the experimental stage, when he's still, at least practicing, when he's still trying to master this thing, they'll come for the next one. When he come, and when I'm teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, teaching on the anointing keys, seven keys to them, they are fascinated. Because the person that is doing something hears things that other people are not hearing. The person that is busy acting and he's jamming something, when he comes into the next thing, he comes with questions. There are things in his mind. And then the Holy Spirit has a way, he breaks down that next step for them. The one that is not doing anything sees through the cloud. A lot of the things pass over his head. Have you noticed, Pastor Noba, that if a lecturer is in a class teaching and you got lost at a stage, and then he moves on, every other thing he's building, you can't follow. Because that missing link is the step to all the other things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you wish, what is wrong with this man? Let him stop and come and explain these things. And there are some lecturers that are fast. They just keep going. And then the others that are Zoom, everybody understand. They just keep going. And you are hooked. I took a computer lesson recently, CorelDRAW. Thank God I had somebody who has gone far ahead. That is a user, a practitioner. The white woman that was teaching us just kept going. They're just showing us how to use your computer to design, draw, do all kinds of things. It will go there, pull out one tool, put the tool, turn the tool into another. Design this, put colors right inside, put steps, put all kinds of things. And I'm stuck somewhere.
How do you even pull the two out? And I'm still trying to pull it, and they have gone, they have finished. He moved to another one. I felt like getting on and said, "Madam, are you wicked? If you know Ebola, you have got, please slow down." And my friend will come and see me stuck. I'm still trying to pull the thing. I have not even. He said, "DP, this is how you do it. You click it, then you hold it, you draw it down." And the guy just does it. It's so elementary. He's not even. It's so simple to him. And I'm looking. I look at him. I look at it. I say, "It can be done. It can be done. The P, you must get it." Then I put the thing and he followed. I said, "Okay." And then I'm trying to follow. I have to draw the ones they have drawn. They have moved to another class. That's how some of these things are sounding to some of you. I was explaining something to Pastor Sarah when I was leaving in the afternoon. I said, all the time he saw me here, but I said, what has finished? I've taken him, he's eating. I left him. I could have sat with him to eat. I left him. I came back here and I was still writing. He said, what were you writing? Are you different? I said, it's the same. The message is still running. The class is still on. The lecturer has gone, but the class is still on. He said, how? He said, I'm still writing. He said, what? I said, I went there. I wrote further. He said, how? I said, because when you open the portals, I enter inside. So I go where the source of that message is. And then I hear other things that the class don't hear. And I get other templates, other things that even the normal class don't get. The ministration of the New Testament is the ministration of the Spirit. So we have to follow the words as well as follow the Spirit. So where that thing is flowing from, because there is a vessel standing before you and this thing is flowing out of him. I follow him inside the curtain and enter there. That's where I stay. I'm like Joshua. And Joshua was following Moses. When Moses climbed and he's talking to God, God, Joshua will sit on top of that mountain, just next. Let me ask you. Moses wrote five books, first five books of the Bible. Am I correct? You are reading it. Joshua wrote the book of Joshua. Are you not reading it? In the book Moses wrote, he commanded the heavens and darkness on Egypt. In the one Joshua wrote, didn't he also command the heavens? But where is the book of Aaron? Why are you not reading Aaron? Where is Miriam? Were they there? They were down making golden calf, confused. Meanwhile, the same people came out of Egypt. But at this second level, all of them were caught up. And all that generation, including Aaron, including Miriam, perished in the wilderness. That boy, Joshua, and his friend, Caleb, like Shadrach, Meshach, are the ones that went in. Where was Korah? Where were all the 250 priests? If people hear something, they get it. Everybody will have made it. In Domino City, at least. Because of the level of things you're being exposed here. It's like what I was saying in the morning about anointing. Receive it, a fall. If he just stops at that impartation, then everybody will have been pregnant now. The problem is that impartation has to be mixed with something. When you give your wife sperm, there is something she must mix with it. It's called egg. And that's what will deliver the baby. There is a part, a rule. There is a part. If you just collect the thing and lazy your way into the anointing, you are a joker. Know the kind of impartations that have happened here.
just this year alone. There has to be change of attitude. There has to be hunger to break into this thing. There has to be hunger. There has to be hunger to break into this thing. There has to be hunger to lay hold of this thing. There has to be. There has to be. If you treat priesthood with lightness, you will never get it. This thing is the greatest game changer in the whole world. Is the greatest game changer in the whole world. It controls the economy, it controls government, it controls jobs, it controls contracts, it controls debt and life. It controls who will live and who will die. It controls nations. It controls demons. It influences angels. And what amazes me more than any other thing is that that office is the only office that has power to influence the Almighty God. Sometimes, even when God has made up his mind, priesthood, if you know what a woman does to a man, that's what priesthood does to God. If you touch it with lightness, just come here to. You are never going to. But if you get it, something will open. You cross a door. There is a door here that you need to cross. There is another door that leads to full-blown manifestation. But that middle door is where people rise and fall. Something will open up for you. You will cross in where you experience spiritual ordination. It will go beyond this one, will bring you to the altar. Because what I read about David is that they poured oil on him. But the next thing I read is that the Spirit of the Lord began to come upon him from that day. What? There is something called spiritual ordination. When I was teaching in Prophetic Summit, I took you guys to the book of the Patriarchs. I gave you that book. Have you read it? I don't know how many copies of that book I have scattered. I took you to the Testament of Levi. You see how, yes, the grandfather, Isaac, blessed Levi and spoke about priesthood. Blessed Judah, spoke about dominion. And then his father had a vision and blessed him, spoke about priesthood. But then Levi, all those things were to bring him into initiation. But Levi was now abducted into the heavenlies, where they brought seven priestly angels to now conduct ordination service for this young man and put the seven garments of priesthood upon him. And from that hour, he became a functional priest. And he became the most dangerous man among his brothers. As powerful as Judah was, Judah had to depend on Levi for his survival. This is a path that spiritual leadership leads you to. There is that path. But then there is a river Jordan that you must cross as a Joshua. Moses can lead you across the Red Sea, but you must cross Jordan. And Red Sea, like if it is New Testament now we're converted, we say it's water baptism. Jordan is adoption into the realm of the Spirit. There is a role for you. You have to now learn to hear from God. And you're not going to learn it by dealing with God from a distance. Because it's the way you learn the voice of your mother from the time you were a baby. That's how you learn to the voice of God. It's through closeness. It's through fellowship. It's through spending time with him. That middle process. know, I heard PCJ saying, I can't remember last when I didn't pray. How can I just get off? How would the day even be? Long before everybody in my house, including Pastor Sarah, gets up. Usually it's hours before they do. I get up to go. Usually 3 a.m. every day. Sometimes 2 a.m. to go and do my own personal devotion. If I tell you some of the places I do it, you'll be surprised. I don't do it on the bed. Sometimes it's in the toilet. I have a table and a seat inside the toilet too. I have spots I go to. My house now, where I live, toilet is one of my, is my best study. I have a studio. Toilet. I have a spot outside the house. I open the door of the house and go there. And flowers cover me. I sit there under a shade with trees around me. That's where. And I only have one bulb shining there. I can even tell when I need to renew something in my priesthood, because every night God communes with me. Every night. That thing he does to Adam, he does it with me every night. So if one night passes, it doesn't happen. I know I have to go. Maybe I've broken an appointment. And there are times where I finish from programs, activities, I'm so whatever. But for me, usually one night is enough. I don't wait for it to get. I don't. Things are constantly coming at me. People are constantly making demand at me. Life is making demand. There are demonic things out there. I can't afford. Can't. So sometimes, no matter how drained I am, one day is all it takes. If there is one night I see break in transmission, I know it's not God, it's me that have been missing appointment. I go back. Because and this part of what makes somebody, makes you a prophet, makes you a Levite. You are given access into the heavens. So almost every night, I'm in one form of meeting or school or another. That's what is called heavenly council. You're not a prophet until you have started attending it. You don't attend it, then better shut your mouth and listen to others. Don't go and say, "Thus said the Lord." There are things that make a man of God. It's not title or your dress. So that's why I always sleep with a Bible and a paper by the side. It's always there. It's, these are now habits. These are not things I struggle to do. It's my nature now. Because I know there is no night without, there won't be upload, downloads and some things. Being led by the Spirit is a daily thing for me. So let me say this now. When it comes to ministry that is effective in impacting human beings, ministry that builds tremendous capacity in human beings, ministry that changes lives, you will see three major dimensions to it. Major. And I just read it in Genesis 12. Image, likeness, and dominion. Let me write it on the board. That's Genesis 1:26.
Actually, if you can put this title, making of man, making of human capital, of human beings. These are the things involved in the making of people. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you. When people follow you, when people join the church, when people get born again, this is what you're supposed to do to them. What God does to those who follow him. What Jesus does to those who follow him. And the Lord who made you and I has shared that ministry of making people with us. If he wanted, he could keep that only to himself. That means God will be the only one having babies. But you can see now he gave parents, a man and his wife, authority and freedom to reproduce his image, to reproduce human beings. And his mandate is not just to give birth to babies, but these are the three things they are to do to those babies to bring them to maturity and to make them function the way God intended. Is that ministry he gave to you and I as spiritual leaders, as spiritual parents, as ministers of the gospel? No other office has more influence on human beings than spiritual leadership. The office of a priest and a prophet and apostles and all of that. You have a wider influence on men than even their natural parents. You might be shocked, but it's true. Where parents fail, your ministry can still redeem and correct and rebuild what families were not able to do. Where governments fail, your ministry can still redeem, rebuild, reconstruct what governments were not able to do. God has only one problem on the earth. It's not budget. It's not economy. It's not poverty. His problem is what Isaiah chapter 59 verse 16 said. When God is not able to find a priest, when God is not able to find a leader that he can use to turn around the problems he has seen in the society. One time it was Jesus that said it. He said, he looked at the people. He said they were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. And God saw that there was no man, no leader, and wondered that there was no intercessor. That's God's problem. The only problem he has. He doesn't have a problem with budget. He doesn't have a problem with poverty. God doesn't have a problem with deliverance. God has all power. He doesn't have a problem with anything. His problem is that vehicle he can use. All of these things that you see now that are troubling Nigeria, troubling our societies, God's answer is a man. Can you rise up now to become God's answer in your city? Can you rise up? Ignore the fact that there are many churches there. Ignore the fact that there are many pastors. Can you become the man God is looking for? Who shall I send? Who shall go for us? Can you make enter into that level of consecration that can make you the answer to the cry of God and answer to the cry of men? The greatest game changer on earth is priesthood. When that priesthood now matures, it will have a prophetic dimension. If you read the book of the patriarchs that I gave you, you will see that every high priest wears an ephod. So that people can know, people want to hear from God, people want to inquire from God. They can't be looking for God when a priest is around. Even in the satanic kingdom, when people want to hear, inquire from ancestors or evil spirits or demons, where do they go? They go to satanic priesthood.
People cannot be looking for God when you are around. That's the problem. If you are not in touch with him, how can you help those who are looking for him? And the situation is so bad now that it's not just congregation looking for God. It's not just the nation. Disillusion. Many priests don't know God. Many pastors are backsliding and are on the pulpit. Many people are preaching and are lost. If you can only see the opportunity that this hour presents, because of the gross darkness that is upon the earth, we have reached that peak now where everything in creation is crying for men and women that will carry the light of God's glory. Even the sinners out there, they can smell fake pastors. They can, oh. There's something about the touch of heaven when it's on a man's life. Even dead woods, even dead souls, even unbelievers can respond to it. You know what happened to the ground when water rain falls? All of that dryness, all of that desertification, all of that, that nothing is growing, nothing is living, all of that changes overnight. Dead things begin to spring back to life. So this template is, everybody here should master it. Not just master, it's not a preaching, it's a technology. Master it, how to use it to help people, to mold people, to build lives. Whether they are children, whether they are pastors, whether they are congregation, whether it's society. The first thing is image. Yeah, the second is likeness. Don't let the English word confuse you. The third is dominion. Everybody knows that this third level is the leadership level or the governance level. Everybody knows that is that stage where manifestation begins. So this first stage is divine nature. Build God's nature inside people. This second stage is divine wisdom. We also call it divine functionality. And then this last stage is a dominion mandate, or the dominion mandate. So we also call it the creation mandate. It was God's original plan for everybody to have dominion, and then we fell from dominion. And Jesus came and restored us back to it. So the impute before you start this is salvation. We sometimes call it deliverance, whatever you like. It's getting people born again. Then the journey, this walk can begin. This walk can begin. This walk was the commission, the great commission given to Adam when there was no need for anybody to be born again because everybody was born, you know, bearing the divine nature. Adam was made in the image of God, just like God said here. But that image needs to be formed. It's the way a girl is born, a girl, but a woman needs to be formed out of her. A man is born, a boy, but a man needs to be formed out of that boy. A lion is born, a lion cub, then the lion has to be grown out of that cub. And your mango tree comes as a mango seed, but the tree has to be grown out of that seed. That's how all of these things were put in there. then there is now the process, because what needs to happen at level one is the process of spiritual and moral formation. That's what you do there, right? The two words that I use two words. So if you do analysis of your ministry, you will see where you are stuck, where you are having problem, and where your people are stuck. I use two words, spiritual and moral formation. That's what you do at level one. The man is born again now. So what do you do? And this is your foundation stage of ministry. Level two is construction stage. We call it development stage. Level three is the deployment stage that now leads to dominion. That foundation stage is everything. You get it wrong, everything will be wrong. The man can become a minister later, but he has foundational problem. That level one is called foundation, while level two is construction or development. So what do you do at foundation? Spiritual and moral development. Building spiritual and moral stamina inside a human being. Building spiritual and moral competencies inside a person. When I said moral, I'm talking about character. The nature of God built into that person. When I say spiritual, a number of elements comes in. I hope you know that human being is a spirit that has a soul that lives in the body. The three developments seems to follow that pattern. At the core, the foundation is spiritual formation. Shaping that man that is inside, because it's that man that bears dominion. At second stage, what do you do? Intellectual and professional competencies is what you develop. I use two words again. Intellectual and professional competencies. You build knowledge, but then you also build wisdom. And what we're talking about is wisdom for the job, wisdom for your calling, skills. When I say professional competencies, there are knowledge that are specific to your calling and to your mandate. If you finish getting the general knowledge, you don't get that specific knowledge, you didn't complete your level two training. Because if you're going to be a doctor, after getting general knowledge, you better know medicine more than any other person. If you're going to be a pastor, after getting general knowledge, you better understand ministry more than. If you're going to be so, this second stage is where education sits. While the first stage is where the church has an uncontested role, responsibility. The problem is schools that shape the mind of our young people and all of that. Unless that man that runs that school, that teacher that is in the class, has been trained in the art of spiritual formation, he is not able to shape the heart. It can shape the mind. It can shape the heart. So, that's why now we are growing intelligent demons. Because they are getting all kinds of knowledge. The type of criminals that are coming out now, you see what they are turning into, Yahoo Yahoo boys, all kinds of things. They're learning how to rape girls, learning how to do, because the level one is missing. Level one, the image of God is missing. Meanwhile, they are learning all the principles and all the laws and all these secrets. And now, and that's level two, the devil has it. What is it that the devil lost? Is level one. The first thing that was damaged when man fell was level one. That's what was an image of Satan came in. Man suffered damages at the three level. Man also lost dominion. And even at level two, man fell from revelation knowledge to sense knowledge. And our intellectual capacity was reduced by 90%. So even a human being that is able to operate 10% that the fall allows human beings to still operate, we call that person a genius. That will tell you some of you are operating 2% of your intellectual capacity, some 1%, some is stupid, some half percent, 0.5%, some 3%. People that hit 9, 10, they say they are genius. And yet, that 9, 10 is nowhere near where Adam was operating. Adam was God in the flesh. This one, let us start calling Jesus Emmanuel. There was already an Emmanuel here before. God with us. That was God on earth. Small G. Without going to school, he named all the animals. And it's not just the animals, everything now, you see. There were a few things God named, though. If you read Genesis 1, day 1 to the 7 creation, you see the things he named by himself, like day and night. All the other things we are calling every other thing was given by man. And there were certain things that God created by himself. Everything that exists on earth was created by man. God created a human being to be a creator. He created him to be an inventor. He created him to be a God. That's why it makes God mad when a human being is worshiping. Either you're worshiping the stars or worshiping wood or worshiping some things that you another man made or something you made or worshiping nature. God baffles. How can God, the God of creation, be worshiping his creation? How can that be? He were made masters of creation. What is wrong with this guy? But he fell. That's what is wrong with him. He's operating from a fallen mentality. He's now amazed by the waves of the sea. He will go and offer sacrifice. But the guy can speak to the waves and they will obey him. So, intellectual. So, all of and the breadth, the width, the depth, the height of knowledge, there is no limit. But as long as you get the one that helps you to fulfill your purpose, you have to get general knowledge, knowledgeable in many areas. But then you now need to zero in on specialized knowledge and make sure that specialized knowledge is turned to working knowledge. Not just something you have in your head, something you can do. So if you have calling to be in healing ministry, there is knowledge that unlocks that field. You can't just be sitting down year after year and be expecting something. There are books. He was recommending some of them when I came. There are more. You have to go after. You have to have that section of the library. You have to. You have to. You have to. You need to start a healing school in your area and be training some people, because you are actually using that style to train yourself. That thing you say you are running, it is yourself that you are perfecting. Practice makes perfect. And to teach is to learn twice. To teach is to learn twice, but to practice is to become, to gain mastery. To teach is to learn twice, but to practice is to gain mastery. If you want to move from knowledge to mastery, that's, I can see he operates from the realm of skill. He has grown to the realm of skill in that terrain. He wants to grow now in the prophetic, to master the prophetic the way he has mastered healing. He has to study it, and practice until he can come here. He can start here now and call it the names of everybody here without knowing you guys. And you can tell what is about to happen. And it will happen. Apart from all of this side, the biggest side to it is the ability to see the mind of God, the purpose of God ahead of time, and know what we are to do and guide the people there. But he will have to. That's why they have all those school of prophets, and they are there every morning. When they get up, they go, they come out the way you would do assembly, and they have to start with prophetic activation. I think you are the one in prophetic summit, you always teach that. They start with activation. They will start prayers. Then they will bring music, timbrets, and worship. This whatever. You know, you guys that are worshiping don't know what, if you don't have an idea. Because you are already mastering activation. Once you do that, they worship, they pray in the spirit. If it's New Testament, if it's Old Testament, they have ways they pray. Some of those, sometimes you take Psalms or take certain scriptures and start speaking in front as that anointing is coming. Now watch now. When you worship and the anointing hits, and you can take any scripture you like, whether it's book of Psalm 23, the one you remember, whether it's Sermon on the Mountain, start speaking it forth under the anointing. That scripture takes a prophetic nature. When it was in your Bible, it was just knowledge, principles. It cannot heal the sick. It cannot move mountains. It cannot do anything. It's just letter. It's like a seed, a bean seed, a mango seed lying on the ground. But once you activate the rain, that's what the anointing does. And there is water. And you take the same seed and put it in the ground, all of a sudden, whoo, it opens. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, to convert principles to prophecy. Because principles only educate you and teach you, but it doesn't have power to change things. It only gives you knowledge and information for you to start doing things. But the same Psalm 23. Now, you have done this, and the anointing is activated. You guys know when the anointing is activated. I see you guys, you do it all the time. And whenever you hit that realm, take the word of God and speak it. It becomes prophetic. At that moment, you can make dry bone rise. At that moment, you can raise the dead. At that moment, cripples can walk. How can you be doing worship and you reach that realm, you don't know how to convert it? Your worship services, blind eyes will see. What do you think I do with Night of Glory? What do you think I do in those meetings? By his stripes, you are healed. It's always in the Bible. But to turn that from letter to spirit, to turn it from principle to the prophetic, you have to do activation. So we use prayer. We use worship. We use all of these elements to enter the realm of activation. Because the first thing the prophet Ezekiel said is that the hand of the Lord was what? That's active. He has entered activation. What you need to know is what process leads to the hand of God coming on people. That's where prayer, that's where worship, that's where all of these elements come in. Can I hear somebody say amen? You have to leave this place and become a dangerous man. Hey, go to the book of Jeremiah. Please put it up for them. Is it not Jeremiah 51? Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. And God said, with thee, I will break in pieces. With thee, I'll break. Everyone say, with me. Say it again, with me. Say, God can't walk until he has a man. But now he has a man. Because I'm here. I'm his battle axe. When God has me in his hand, anything is possible. So that's the job of activation. Activation is to place you as an axe in God's hand. And the hand of the Lord did what? I was going for service in Jos, somebody was driving me and he was misbehaving. Because I had already activated and I was wearing an effort. So he was misbehaving so much that he was about to pull me out of the spirit back to the flesh. So I told him, park, he parked. I said, come down. So I moved to the back. Say, policeman, move to the back. I took the stand. So how I got to the service, I don't know. But what I know is, I then switched off into that realm. And sang hymns, spiritual songs. And we're just going. And finally, we got there. And as I got to the gate, here is this crippled person that we're dragging into service. So I had to stop and allow them to take the woman in properly before I could come in. And so I finally found a way to sneak in the car to go to where I parked. The Lord said, can you see that lady? I said, yeah. He said, it's a setup. I'm the one that organizes it. Once you get in, lose her. Because you see, I'm already a battle axe. God's hand is already on me, holding the axe. Anything is now possible. So that putting yourself under the mighty hand of God, divine alignment is part of the secret. There are a number of elements. When we do consecration, that's part of the secret. Because when we are off, you need to come back. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Because God doesn't use you in pride. He uses you in humility. It's when you are humble that His grace is supplied in your life. Am I correct? So He teaches that. But activation is not just for prophetic conference or for when we are gathered here. It's what you can do in the morning. And when you have woods together, it's faster. When you bring woods together, you want to create fire, it's much faster. So all the school of prophets in the Old Testament, the one under Samuel, the one under Elijah, the one, you see it. Samuel said to the first king of Israel, Paul, you will see a band. Everyone say a band of prophets coming down from the holy hill. And they'll be playing with psaltery, with all these instruments of music. When you come around them, the spirit of the Lord God will come up. Because these guys are in activated realm. They're not normal people. It's like meeting a native doctor, a group of native doctors, when they have put on that their supernatural toga. You are dealing with a demon in the flesh. You better cast him out. That's why if a criminal walks to your house, whether he's armed with gun or armed with, or call him whatever, even if they tell you lie down on the floor and you kneel, why you are there, bind the spirits. Cut off the hand of Satan so you can be dealing with a normal human being. Bind the spirit behind that man. Cut it off. It's like seeing a man under the anointing. You cut off the Holy Ghost. He will drop back to the flesh. The difference is that you don't bind Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is moving in the midst, you want to cut him off, you have to grieve him, annoy him. When he's annoyed sufficiently, he might decide to cut off the Holy Spirit from a man. You have to push the man into sin. You just don't have to do to him what Delilah did to Samson. And then the Bible says Samson wist not that the Spirit of God departed from him. So he went to shake like before the Philistines captured him. Because now his ordinary axe lying on the floor, the hand of God is gone. Please, Jeremiah 51, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. With thee. Everyone say, with me. God said, I will break in pieces nations. With thee, I will destroy kingdoms. With thee, I will break in pieces the horse and what? And Israel. With thee, I will break in pieces the chariot and his. go on, verse 22. Everybody read with me, 1, 2, go. No, take them one, verse after verse, 1, 1. Yeah, read together, 1, 2, go. We did. So, I'll break in pieces the man and the woman. You see some sisters start following some stupid unbeliever or some relationships that are not meant to be. Don't go breaking people's relationships, so. But you know we are told not to be equally yoked. Oh, he said, they gave her something she ate. She has lost her, and she's just, is it prophetic now? That sorts out such things. Just like the prophetic can cause a husband to come into her life. The prophetic can move and unmove. Everyone want to go again. We thee also, I'll break in pieces man and the woman. And we thee, I'll break in pieces old and young. And with thee, I'll break in pieces the young man and the maid. Verse 23. And with thee, I'll break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. Oh, this, like some stupid church prayer house is in your street. Break that thing, that cord that is tying the people there, and scatter the people. Release them to go and find salvation. The environment where you live. How can witches be flying up and down there? Shut all their highways down. Redeem the airwaves. Redeem the land where you live. Declare that place no fly zone. Declare no zone for armed robbers. When Anini was terrorizing Benin, and because he has these jars, he can disappear and all that. All that toga of that place, you can remove it from the person. Is the prophetic that does that. Everyone say, we did. I break the armed robber and their gang. Say it. I break in pieces. A particular gang is terrorizing an area. Are you waiting till they get to your house? They write a letter that are coming. Go and do activation and come under the anointing. That's the purpose of this weekend's training, you know. God is raising people that can deal with these things that are going on. Leave it to government. Government is overwhelmed. Are you people waiting till we reach Rwanda stage? A new season has come. And it's also with the prophetic you call in finances. It's with the prophetic you balance your budget. It's with the prophetic you meet the needs in ministry. It's with the prophetic you build a building. It's with the prophetic you call the city and the city will answer. It's with the prophetic you break enchantment over a city and cause things to happen that will leave an indelible mark on the hearts of people. It's with the prophetic you rule and reign. Everyone lift up your hands. The Lord said tonight, there are some things you left behind that needed to be sorted out. Some of them have been giving you problem. Some are issues. Some are with finance. Some are with... Address it here now. You will see that thing dissolve. Who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Your priesthood and your kingly ministry, and begin to manifest it. That's what is beginning to happen now. Dominion City is beginning to give you level 3 training. And priesthood is the foundation for dominion. Kingship sits on priesthood. So when we talk outside the church world, what we say level 3 is social and political impact. Sometimes we say it's economic, we say social, economic, and political influence. Because those are tools for dominating, for running the show. Development, social enterprise. Entrepreneurship, classical enterprise, and government, public enterprise,
you master the three and begin to deploy them. And you can even master just one and you can rule your world from them. You don't have to have dominion by being a politician. You can have a dominion for non-governmental platform. You don't have to go into public service to have dominion. You can have dominion from business platform. And you can have dominion from the platform of government. Now, when we talk outside the church, we'll leave them at that level. But when we talk to kingdom people, we let them know priesthood is what carries everything. Because when you venture into politics or venture into economy or venture into any of these areas without a standing priesthood, the kingdom of darkness, you will face such conflict that the kingdom of darkness will now place a demand. You have to make a decision which side to join. That's why politicians join the occult. All these sacrifices and all these things you see. That's why you see in the business world this issue of underworld organizations and they're joining one fraternity or the other or a Freemasonry or this one. The reason is because there is no rulership without priesthood. So they go to get satanic whatever to undergird them. You have to discover. Stop saying I'm a professional, I'm a banker, I don't have time. You are going to... Hey, when the days are dark, they are talking about collecting headlamp. You didn't know. I'm busy. I'm traveling to Kano without lights. So now you only have two options. Cool behind those who have... or park on the wayside. Have your journey grounded. The last days are dark. The last days are dark. You're not going to make this journey successfully without developing your priesthood. Because with the priesthood, you rule from your sin and then cause the sin to align. And when success and result come, they are busy saying, we don't know how you did it. Or we are. He's not supposed to. Look at how Trump beat Mrs. Clinton in that election. There was no way. Except that stone that was cut by no human hand intervened. Yeah, he may not have developed anything there, but at least he engaged men of God to do that. The reason Jesus made you kings and priests is so that you can have these two realms of dominion at your doorsteps. These people are always depending on pastor. There will be a day when your pastor will not be around. May the devil not knock on your door the day pastor traveled. That's why you need the firepower inside your house. And of course, Dominion City has broken this into a five-step process so that those who pastor, those who lead people, and those who are part of this ministry can be able to calibrate their journey and know where they are and know what needs to be done. We usually say that level one is salvation. Now, Adam did not do level one, but in the New Testament, we are asked to do it. Adam did not do that. There's no need for anybody to be born again or be saved. Everybody is born saved. Just grow the children. Develop them spiritually. So level one, we put that because we have to win the lost.
So level 2 is foundation, and that's where Adam started. So when people are saved, don't stop. Salvation is not an end. It's just input. It's just raw material into the process. This thing I'm showing you is a process, and it keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. It's like a circle. It just keeps going. If I want to really develop it, I can draw it as a circle, how it feeds to each other, and it keeps going. Level 3 is discipleship. So every pastor here must know how to deploy all of this. For example, you have to know how to lay a strong foundation. You have to know how to do it. We have things like foundation school. We have things like encounter. But as you are being trained, if you look at any of your system and see anything that is missing, add it. Add it. Once you know what you're supposed to be doing at that level. That's foundation. Level 3 is discipleship. If somebody is a pastor in DC here, doesn't know how to do this 3, like the illustration I was giving about that computer lecture, you have been left behind. Because we are now moving to high-tech level. You have a big problem in your hand. You have to go back because there are a lot of resources, and go back and get this area. Invite some pastors, check where your problem is to help you master. Get your leader to let them run training for you on any of this. If you want a training on how to win souls or on evangelism, you want a training on some of the elements that happen at that level, run it. But if it is level 2, you want a training on follow-up, or a training on how to do encounter, or a training on foundation school, how to run it, or all those basic things that have to do with basic foundation, or like we said, those, you know, 12 basic things you put in a young believer to give them a strong foundation in the faith. We have tapes on that. Even this year, I did training on foundation again. I did it in Accra, and I did some across the country. They are there. I revisited them again. Now we are discipleship. Now you can now see now where we have crossed into. Level 4 is priesthood. And then level 5 is governance. Or rulership. So sometimes you see us, we use D1. We say this one is deliverance, coming out of Egypt. We say this one is discovery. That's why among the things that are supposed to happen here is the revelation of the cross. The revelation of the cross. One of the greatest things that give a young believer settles him. This one is discipleship or development. That's what we call construction. This is deployment. The man has started functioning as a priest of God. He has started impacting life. And then this is dominion. Now, if we complete what we're doing with priesthood, I'm going to be having 2 years to focus on level 5 alone. So I'm hoping that this priesthood training and all of that, the Lord gave us instruction 2019, 2020 to just focus on it. He said, by the time you are through, he will have shifted a generation over who will be very dangerous when it comes to functioning in the things of God. When is you are at discipleship level, you are building for yourself. You are developing your own personal life, personal Christian life. But at priesthood, you are now developing capacity to influence your world. And at kingship level, you are developing capacity to rule your world. The two offices are for rulership. Revelation 5, verse 10 and 11.
and he hath made us kings and priests unto our God. And what will happen? We shall reign on the earth. These two offices are for reigning. Whenever I call you, as my source, O Shimilea.
Project that song.